All right, church, let's look in Mark chapter 15. I apologize that it has been a little while since I've posted anything out of Mark. We are moving through it, of course. I had a few files. Somehow, I didn't save them right on my machine, and I'm having to redo them, I guess. But anyway, Mark 15, this is Pilate and Jesus, and you're probably familiar with it. I'm going to read it here, the first 15 verses of it. It might take me a little while to read through it, but let's do that. It says, as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him, you have said so. And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you. But Jesus made no further answer, so the Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to give him release, to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And that's the Mark passage of Jesus and Pilate together. It's repeated, of course, in the other Gospels, and there's important little additions and things that you can get out of it as you study these things. Okay, but what I want to look at here today, it's a common theme that we've touched on. I'm going to have to preach on it one of these Sundays because it deserves more than just a video sort of thing, but is fear. Fear of God versus fear of anything or everything else. That is what so much of the way you live your life, so much of what we see happening to Jesus here, almost all of it, it goes back to fear of God. That's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, according to Proverbs. The fear of God. If you do not have the fear of God, you will fear something, somebody else. Usually many things, many other people you will fear. Okay, but look at this. In the morning, chief priests held a consultation, the elders and the scribes and the council. This is the religious leaders, guys. This is the, you know, it's not Rome. Rome is going to be the ones that it's at their hands that Jesus gets crucified, but it's not Rome ganging up on him right away here. This is the Jews, the Jewish leaders, the supposed to be the good guys, the religious ones that are supposed to fear God. They don't. They fear Rome. And we know this, and they actually threaten Pilate with it. Not here in Mark, but they threaten Pilate. You're no friend of Caesar if you like this guy. If you let him in, you're not a friend of Caesar. And Pilate doesn't want to see any kind of insurrection, doesn't want to see any of this. He's afraid of Rome too, even though he works for Rome. They rule by fear. Everything, one way or other, will rule by fear. If you fear it, it will rule you. You obey your master. You know who your master is based on who you obey. Okay, they say it to in Luke 23, verse 5. They were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place. He stirs them up. Look, he's a bad guy. He's stirring up the people." Okay, and they say to him, "You're no friend of Caesar." You want to be a friend of Caesar. You don't want to be on his enemies list, do you? Oh boy, Pilate, you better do it. All right, we know that the reason they did this overnight to Jesus was because they feared the people. Now look at what Pilate does. Pilate fears Rome. This is this council of elders. They fear Rome as well. They fear losing their grip on power. They also fear the people. That's why they did it at night. But look at this, verse 15, Mark 15, 15. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. He's also afraid of the crowd. This crowd is getting riled up and fired up. That's bad. They're angry mobs, lynch mobs, whatever, they might take it out on him. Also, if he has to call up Rome for help and they put down some sort of, rebellion or something, Rome's going to be mad at him. He'll lose his power. So he fears the crowd. He fears continuing to let them get fired up, because if they do, they might come after him, or Rome might come after him because he didn't put down the riot. The easiest thing he can do, that he can think of, is to just let them have Jesus. Now, he releases a guy named Barabbas. What do we know about Barabbas? We know he's an insurrectionist who's committed murder. He's a bad guy, okay? Insurrection in Rome was a cross. You'd get crucified for that. Treason. They didn't just crucify any old kind of person. We know there's thieves on the cross beside Jesus, but generally speaking, you would have to be stealing from Rome to get crucified. There were other less gruesome ways to do a death penalty. The cross was reserved for those who sinned against Rome. Okay, that's what it's for. That's why it's right along the main street on a hill, so everybody going by can scoff and jeer, and they leave dead bodies up there oftentimes for a couple days, just so everybody sees this is what happens when you go against Rome. All right, nobody wants to go against Rome. Nobody wants, they want to appease the people. So he's going to release an insurrectionist who's literally actively going up against Rome because the people are mad at Jesus, so we got to get Jesus. All right? Fear of God would never do this. Fear of God would say, no, we're not going to kill an innocent person. Oh, but Jesus isn't innocent. He said some bad things about the temple that we didn't like, and he challenged our authority, and he ate some wheat on the Sabbath. So, a fear of God, you wouldn't kill him. Fear of God, even if those things were true, you would not kill him. You might put him out of the synagogue or whatever. They had means like that they could follow. You wouldn't kill him. You wouldn't turn him over to Rome to be crucified on false charges. If you had the fear of God, you would not do this, obviously, right? You don't have the fear of God, you'll fear everything else, and you'll do horrible things. And Pilate knows it's wrong. He knows it's wrong. He's like, why? What evil has he done? Verse 14. I don't understand. Like, okay, you've made some pretty wild accusations against this guy. He doesn't even argue with the merits of them, whether they're true or not. He's just like, yeah, but what evil? Like, that's not evil. Those are accusations. Those are things that you don't like. I get it, but evil enough to get him nailed up to a cross? I don't think so, guys. But in order to satisfy the crowd, take him away, crucify him. I'll scourge him for you. Maybe that'll satisfy you. No, you still want to kill him? Okay, whatever. Not my problem. Wash my hands. I'm done with this. Now, look at what Pilate's amazed by. Verse 5, all the way back up there. Pilate asked him, have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you? But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. All right? Pilate's amazed that Jesus won't answer them. Why not? Wouldn't you? I think we hit on this before with the overnight monkey trial they put him into, that Jesus just doesn't even answer their false accusations. The human instinct is self-defense. If somebody says a lie about you that's bad, especially one that could lead to a death penalty, everything inside of you wants to stand up and scream, no, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. Right? Even Peter wants to do this, even though he did follow Jesus and really was a disciple. I never knew the man. I never knew him. I don't want to go there. No. So even when the accusation is true, if it's going to lead to some sort of punishment or some problem for you, you typically argue with it. You want to protect and defend yourself from it or wiggle out of it or something. And when the accusation is false, doesn't that just make you angry? And most people would, right? Not Jesus. Jesus doesn't even reply. Why not? Because Jesus doesn't fear the accusation. Jesus doesn't fear death. Jesus doesn't fear Rome, doesn't fear Pilate, doesn't fear the council of elders and priests and whatever. Doesn't fear them at all. Doesn't even have to answer their nonsense. Falls flat, right? And Pilate is amazed. Pilate, in his position, has seen insurrectionists come and go. He's seen thieves and murderers and crooks and losers and bad guys and bums. He's seen them all. You don't get to that position in Rome without having all kinds of issues and political baggage and everything else. He's seen it all. He encounters Herod on a regular basis. The guy knows what evil looks like and what bad guys look like. Pilate himself, we know from the book of Luke, at one point at least, had killed Jews and mingled their blood in the temple sacrifices. I mean, this is a bad guy, a tough guy, a hardened guy. He works for Rome. He doesn't really have a major problem with just sending an innocent man, Jesus, up to be crucified. Whatever, guys, that's what you want. You can have him. He protested a little bit. Why? What evil has he done? But hey, not my problem. I'm Rome. I do what I please. I fear the guy up the ladder from me in Rome, but come and stop me. Good luck. I'm Rome. He doesn't care. He'll just do it. But he's amazed by Jesus. This tough guy, this brutal thug, is amazed at Jesus because Jesus doesn't fear him, doesn't fear any of their accusations, doesn't fear the worst thing they could do to him, crucify him. That's the worst thing they could do to him, all right? Modern times that you hear about some of the torture that happens in some of these places where there's evil just running amok, and it's bad and it's gruesome. And crucifixion is right up there with the worst of it all right? It's right up there. And Jesus does not fear it, doesn't even answer it. And Pilate is amazed by that. In fact, I believe it's the Gospel of John. I have to look it up. Cross-reference all four Gospels here. They all add unique little insights to it. But Jesus says to him, look, I'm giving myself to you. If you have authority in my life, it's because I've given it to you. And Pilate has no category for that. He has no concept of it. I mean, he just doesn't get it. He's amazed. He says, what in the world? I've never encountered this before. All right? Look, how does that apply to you? Don't fear. Live completely free of all fear, because you're accountable to God alone. And I don't know what they're going to do to you in this life. I don't know how blessed or cursed or good or bad or whatever your life is right now in this world or what your prospects are. I don't know. Good, bad, ugly, in between. Most people, it's a roller coaster, a little bit of good, a little bit of bad, a little bit of ugly. At various points of your life, you're going to experience any and all of those things. All right? Don't fear it. Don't worry about it. You know, the only way to be set free from that is to remember at all times, I belong to God alone, and he holds eternity in his hand. He holds me in his hand. He has ordained every moment of my life, and I'm accountable to him. And no, because of the blood of Christ, I'm not afraid. I'm not like in terror, but I am constantly aware of his awesome presence in the world, in my life, in the room with me as we speak at all times. He's watching it all. He sees it all. There's nothing hidden from him. And I am in awe of this. And with fear and trembling, I know he is at work in me. I don't have time. I don't have bandwidth, Pilate, to worry about your opinion. Counsel making some accusation. I don't even have time. Whatever, guys. You think what you want to think. I'm accountable to God alone. Oh, that understanding sets you totally free. The fear of God is not a kind of fear that locks you down like a slave. It's a fear that sets you free from all kinds of slavery. You know exactly how much fear of God you have in your life. A very easy gauge for it is how much fear do you have in your life. If you have a lot of fears in your life, it means you have very little fear of God in your life. All right. If you fear this, you fear that, there's thousands of things that people fear that you might fear. Some of them are really scary things if you just look at them in their own right. I fear for my children. I fear for my country. I fear for whatever. You want to make a list of scary things, it can be a very long list. I'm not going to argue about that. I'm not here to pretend that this world is all fun and peaches and stuff. Right? Why do people say peaches? Peaches are like the third best fruit. You know, okay, oranges, kiwis, that would beat them. sorry. If you have the fear of God, you are set free from all other fears. If you have other fears, they take you captive, They keep you in bondage. They lock you down. You stop thinking of God. You stop thinking of what's right and wrong and good and evil. And you start thinking only in terms of compliance and obedience and appeasing and making sure nobody ever, that thing you're afraid of doesn't actually bite you, doesn't actually get you. You become so anxious and depressed that you don't leave your house, you don't leave your room. You sleep in till noon. Like, it's debilitating. Or you take charge of it and take control and you become some sort of addictive personality, whether it's workaholism or some sort of relationship thing where you never have enough other people in your life and you're constantly chasing after the next one or something else. All kinds of ways to escape from it, and it never works. The fear of God alone can set you free. Failing to fear God will cause you to do the stupidest, most ridiculous things in the world. That's what these guys did. The Jewish leaders who are supposed to fear God the most of all make a plot to kill Jesus so that they know he's an innocent man, and they have to pay money to have him betrayed, and they have to do it at night or else they'll get caught. And they have to turn him over to Rome so that the Roman authority can make it happen because they don't have the authority to do it themselves. And Rome just washes their hands and says, whatever, buddy, go to the cross. What do we care? They do the most evil things because they're afraid of things that aren't God. It will wreck your life. You fear something that's not God, it will destroy you. It will own you. You obey the thing that you fear. And it will cause you to do things you don't want to do that you know are wrong. And you'll do them anyway because you have to obey it. Because it'll pull the rug out from me. The whole system's built on this. My whole lifestyle is based on this thing. My income, my whatever it is, everything's based around this. I have to do this. All my hope, whatever. Crucify him. Kill him. Nail him up to a cross. We don't like him. We don't like what he says. We don't like what he stands for. Let the murderer, let him go instead. We want to kill Jesus. Okay? It says he knew it was out of envy. Verse 10, he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. Not out of evil. Why? Why should we crucify him? What evil has he done? They can't really answer it. It's envy that he's getting the attention of others. They don't like it. Sin, man, sin breeds more sin. It won't stop. It will not stop. You shall not covet. Envy and coveting, right? That's one of the Ten Commandments. You fear God, you notice envy bearing up inside of you. You fear God, you're going to say, oh, I fear God. I got to obey God. I'm not going to listen to this envy stuff. Same thing as Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. Why? Because he envied him. Because God had regard for Abel's sacrifice, but not for Cain's. Why not for Cain's? In the course of time, Cain brought forth some of the produce of the land, but Abel had brought the first fruits of the land. Cain, in the course of time, when I get to it, I'll bring you some. No fear of God here. And so now he figures, well, Abel's pleasing to God. I'll sacrifice Abel. That might please God, and it'll get my annoying punk brother out of the way and kill him and show God what a sacrifice looks like. These chief priests are like, we'll kill him, get rid of him. Then maybe God will appreciate our sacrifices again. Then maybe we'll rise back up in the ranks and all these people have to listen to us again. It's all ugly. It's all upside down. Fear of God sets you free. Failing to fear God locks you in bondage doing the most evil, ridiculous stuff you could think of, guys. God bless you. We'll move farther into chapter 15 tomorrow. See you then.